Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters. Purdue football has been active in the transfer portal this spring, losing players, but gaining as well. Where are the Boilermakers better off? And where might their roster still be lacking? We'll break that down on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Dienhart. We'll bring in Brian Newbert in a couple of minutes to talk a little bit of preseason basketball rankings as well. But let's start off with Tom and talk some football. Tom, I like the transfer updates that you're doing on goldandblack.com, sort of showing, I think, not only where Purdue has gained some players, but also where the Boilermakers have lost some players. I think it's interesting to sort of look at it in that fashion. Right? But for the most part, the losses are not all that impactful, right?
You are exactly right, Kyle. Really, the only player Purdue's lost that I can say with full-throated confidence that was a bit of a jolt was Malik Carr. Of course, yeah. What, 3 or 4 weeks ago, he jumped in the portal, landed at Michigan State. Supposedly, you know, we all knew he wanted to play basketball in addition to football. I guess he thought, Kyle, his chances to do both would be enhanced if he transferred back to his home state to play for the Spartans. We shall see. Certainly, Purdue would have loved for him to have stayed. We all know about his potential, you know, 6'5", 230 pounds, a four-star recruit, class of 2020. So, again, the other guys, you know, I think Purdue can survive their departures. And, boy, Jeff Blom and company have been very active bringing players in, right, Kyle? 9 total so far, 2 of them being walk-ons. And, Kyle, they are not done yet. They are still shopping, and they can take guys up till July 1st and still have them play this fall.
Yeah. So that's the deadline, huh? July 1st, that's like a transfer portal NCAA
year,
thing?
Yeah, for this year now and subsequent years, that date's going to move to May 1st for fall and winter sports. But this year, because I guess of the late passage of the rule, they kicked that deadline to July 1st. So we've got, it's mid-May. We've got another month and a half here of shopping. And I know Purdue's still looking around to enhance a few positions here as we speak.
Shopping is such a a good word for it. And I mean, it almost is. I mean, you can almost picture somebody walking down the grocery aisle, right? We're in the defensive tackle department. We're in the running back department. But it's true. I mean, that's the way it feels.
Yeah, they've got people dedicated to watching the portal, obviously. We're talking to even coaches at other schools. I mean, Kyle, these staffs know before players are going to enter the portal that they're going to enter the portal. There's always some kind of back channel communications, the legalities of all that, I'm not sure, but there's always, it seems like players are always letting people know that they're going to jump in the portal, and it's a good way to build and I guess patch holes in your roster, maybe is a better way to look at it. You can add a veteran talent to your roster as opposed to maybe trying to rely on a true freshman or redshirt freshman. Good way to patch holes, and Purdue's had some holes they've wanted to patch, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That's where they've been the most active. 5 transfers, Kyle, coming in on defense. and again, like I said, I don't think Purdue is finished shopping at this point. So 2 defensive linemen, 1 linebacker, 2 defensive backs. 4 of those guys are from the SEC, and I think Purdue still would love to add another defensive tackle and another defensive end if they could. I know there was a defensive end from Auburn they wanted, and I think on Friday he committed to Indiana. So Purdue's still looking for help up front, in particular on defense.
Yeah. I know you're breaking these down position by position, so and people can read those as they come out at goldenblack.com. Where do you think Purdue has gained the most in terms of, you know, transfers coming in outweighing the possibility of those going out?
I think the secondary, bringing in Jamari Brown from Kentucky, bringing in C.J. McWilliams from Florida, Those two guys are going to help right away in the secondary. It's a secondary I think needs help. It's a secondary that's seen a lot of players transfer out. I think these guys coming in are upgrades. Brown in particular, almost 200 pounds. He started some football in Lexington, played for a very underrated program for Mark Stoops down there in Lexington. And I think he has a chance maybe to come in and start. He should be getting to campus here shortly, I would think. Same with C.J. McWilliams, a kid from Florida. He's actually a sixth-year player, Kyle. And he played for Ron Inglis in Gainesville. Of course, Ron Inglis is a new defensive backs coach for Purdue, so he has a familiarity with McWilliams. It could be a nickelback. Those two guys are going to really upgrade a secondary that has some nice parts, I think, buddy. Geo Howard's back at one cornerback spot. Of course, Corey Trice. Diedrich Mackey's back as well. Those are all cornerbacks. And the safeties, too, Marvin Grant, Cam Allen, and the youngster, Sanusi Kane. I think when you take those guys and couple them with transfers, there's some interesting pieces back there in the secondary for Purdue.
Where has Purdue, and maybe this isn't the right way to phrase it, but where has it lost the most, or where has it not made as many gains as maybe what it needs to have?
You know, if you were to ask me the one most urgent need still right now, I think it's running back. I mean, nothing against King Giroux, nothing against Xander Horvath. I like both those backs. We know they can carry the load and get the job done, so to speak. But they're more blue-collar backs, more workman-like lunch pail guys. And neither one's going to keep a defensive coordinator up at night. I think Purdue could use, you know, maybe an injection of athletic ability and speed at running back. They're continuing to look, obviously. We all know about the running back at Vanderbilt. They're continuing to monitor. Keon Henry-Brooks, he's got academic work, obviously. They're looking at a back from Clemson, Shady Selly, but the word is he's probably going to land at Wisconsin. And, again, they're just continuing to look for running backs. Again, I think they could get by with what they've got. And we know in the spring, Kyle, they did some experimenting, too, where they put Jackson Answer back there. Marcellus Moore back there, maybe T.J. Sheffield, and maybe try to work with those guys in bit roles in the backfield as well. So they're going to try to come up with some ideas to put some more juice back there. But I think, obviously, if they can land a back with a little bit of a athletic ability and speed, be a nice change of pace to what they've already got.
Moore's been pretty good during the track season. We've seen players, you know, run track and do very well. Sometimes that translates to football. In Raheem Mostert's case, it did a little bit while he was at Purdue, and then, you know, certainly now has in the NFL. Is the feeling that it's going to translate for Moore and he could become a bigger piece of the puzzle for Purdue, whether it's, you know, as a slot receiver or maybe a little bit in the backfield this fall?
I think that's to be determined, Kyle. He was a true freshman last year. He played a very small role. He got a chance to run back one kickoff, I believe. It didn't go real well. Very small player. That doesn't mean he can't be good. We all know about his speed, supposedly Olympic-caliber speed. We've read about his recent exploits in track as well. He's got the wheels. From what I'm told, Kyle, there's no denying his straight-line speed. It's his ability to cut and accelerate and I guess make more football moves. I guess that's what he's got to work on. And you love the raw ability, though, and Purdue's going to continue to work with him. And, yeah, as a kick returner, no doubt. You talked about being a slot receiver. You know, long story short, you've been covering football a long time. When you see a player like Marcellus Moore, you just want to try to get him the ball in the open field and let him do what he does best, and that's just the natural ability to run with that speed. So he's going to be a fun player to watch develop. Of course, Kyle, he didn't take part in spring football at all, so he missed some valuable reps this spring while he was doing track.
All right. Some of the names that you just mentioned are in Boiling Over from last week, so people can go back and read that on the site. But the big spots, as you sort of outlined, are running back A, which I agree with you. I think that that's an area where, you know, maybe you can get by with what is existing there. But it seems like A, you would either need a third established back. Like, there were times last year where Purdue wasn't even comfortable going to the third guy. You need a third guy there, whether that's a starter caliber player or just another reliable guy. So that's a position, the two defensive linemen, maybe, perhaps another offensive lineman even? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems, you know, for a team that, you know, has already brought in, you know, upwards of nine, if you count some of the walk-ons players, man, there's still some needs that they feel like they need to address here during this extended period where you can pull in transfer portal players.
Yeah, and then two walk-ons. One of them is a running back, Dylan Downing from UNLV from Carmel High School. But he's a bigger back, Kyle, about 5'11", 220. And then the other walk-on is Ben Freehill, the kicker from Oklahoma State. And again, the scholarship guys, again, are numerous. Like I said, seven other scholarship guys who are going to be on scholarship, I should say. One of them is Tyler Witt. You talked about the offensive line, Kyle. Tyler Witt from Western Kentucky. He was in town for spring football and really impressed, maybe the strongest player on the team. I expect him to start at right guard. And, again, you talked about wanting to add more offensive linemen. I think that is the case. They would like more depth. And, again, they're looking at linemen. there's a chance maybe a couple guys on the roster may not be back, Kyle. You know, Will Bramble, Kyle Jornigan have had back problems. There's maybe some speculation they may not be able to continue playing football. What's Jimmy McKenna going to do? So, again, I think that they would like to have some more depth to add to their roster up front as well. And you know, I talked about special teams a little bit with Ben Freehill, the kicker from Oklahoma State. Well, recently Purdue added a scholarship kicker, Mitchell Finneran from Samford, an FCS school. I think we expect him to come in and probably win the job as a place kicker this year. I think Purdue's going to have a new punter and new place kicker next fall with Finneran kicking. And then the kid from Australia, Jack Ansel, will probably coming in and winning the punting job, I think.
All right. All right, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and bring in Brian Huber, talk a little bit of hoops. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian to talk a little bit of preseason basketball. Brian, a bunch of polls get released here early in the season. The Boilermakers often in those are ranked as a top 10 team in the country. I think that's I think it's legitimate. I think maybe Purdue would have been even a little bit higher than that had it not lost a first-round game in the NCAA tournament this last year. But there's a difference between, like, being a preseason top 10 team right now and then, like, playing like one in the fall, right? So what needs to happen for Purdue between now and then?
Well, all the guys, first off, all the guys who weren't experienced a year ago at this time and who were, you know, held back and some way by an unconventional offseason need to get better, need to benefit from from normalcy this summer. I think the biggest thing Purdue has going for it right now, aside from having a really good team, is just normalcy. I think they're going to have a much more productive offseason this year, and you saw what they were capable of last season without an optimally productive offseason. So I think that's the biggest part of it, is to make sure nobody gets complacent here and everybody keeps on an upward trajectory. I wouldn't anticipate there being any issues there. In terms of basketball, I think a couple things have to happen. One, I think they have to get better defensively. I think they overachieved last season. I think the collective was better than the sum of its parts. But I also think that it caught up with them at the end, because Purdue lost North Texas because Purdue couldn't stop North Texas, a team that put five guys out there who could shoot and, really presented some problems off the dribble all over the floor. That really, spoke to Purdue's vulnerabilities defensively. I think they have to get better there, and I think it's reasonable to expect a lot of those younger guys to come in and be better defensive players, and everyone else to be more aware than ever of their limitations and whatnot. And, there's going to be a new voice in the room now with Paul Lusk taking over the defense. So maybe he has some new ideas or whatever it may be, potentially to put them in even better positions. So that's a big part of it. And then they have to make more shots. Still one of the mysteries of this season to me is why they didn't shoot better collectively. Now, I think Jaden Ivey's volume, through the course of the year, Aaron Wheeler's volume through the course of the year, I think when they weren't shooting well, that obviously affected the whole team's percentage pretty considerably. Now, Ivy obviously shot really well down the stretch. I think he was 37% or whatever over the last seven games. If he can pick up where he left off there, that's a big part of the solution. But also, Eric Hunter's got to make more open shots. I can't figure out why he didn't shoot better last season. I mean, he has a long history of being able to make shots. Not sure what happened there. Obviously, Sasha Stevanović will be COVID-free to start this season, so he will presumably be the closer to 50% guy that he was to start this year, as opposed to the guy who went however many games it was after having COVID without making a three, thus watering down his percentage. That's what it all comes down to. It comes down to, the obvious stuff of, Purdue getting better this offseason, not getting complacent, but also taking another step defensively and becoming a more consistent shooting team. That's a lot of stuff. So anybody who thinks that Purdue is there, and they're just going to roll out the balls next year and they're going to win 25 games, I don't think that's reality.
The shooting thing is an interesting one. I mean, it was hard to believe that Purdue was such a mediocre, and mediocre might be putting it mildly. They're near last, if not last, in the Big Ten, because you look at the players themselves and you're like, Sasha's a good shooter. Eric Hunter Jr. is a good shooter. Brandon Newman, that's sort of what he does and looks like a great shooter. I mean, his form is one of the best I think you've probably ever seen. But then the collective just, they didn't shoot the ball very well. And it's not like they're bringing in somebody that's just going to be a dead-eye three-point shooter. So it is an area where you have to see some pretty, pretty good strides. Now, Purdue can win games next year without, being the greatest three-point shooting team ever because they have some other strengths. But if you're going to take that step to be a top 10, top 5, maybe even better than that type of team, it seems like Purdue's going to have to shoot it better.
Well, it's an existential issue for them, too. It's not just the importance of the 3 points you get from one of those shots actually going in. But when you look at Purdue's roster, they are built to play through the post and thus complement that with 3-point shooting, generate good looks off of that, keep secondary defenders away from the post. But also, we just got done talking about how they've got some limitations defensively. They have some limitations defensively in part because they have invested so heavily in shooting. And you have some guys who, sometimes aren't as athletic or aren't as ideally suited for man-to-man defense, because that's the trade-off Purdue has had to make to get really high-end shooters. So when you've made that level of investment at both ends of the floor in three-point shooting, and the three-point shooting isn't, you know, is just kind of pedestrian and not, at worst, above average, does really limit you because it's such an important part of how your team is built to play. And I think that's, if Purdue can just get, you know, from 32%, whatever they were this year, to 35, 36, whatever it may be, I think that's something that, you know, would have won them X number more games last season.
Yeah.
I think it's the element as much as it's the actual points that go up on the board too, because Purdue has to be really hard to guard, and Purdue has to get, you know, payoff for the investment it's made, that it has made trade-offs to have. And I think that's just, that's probably digging a little deeper into the issue than, you know, probably a lot of people would, but I just think it's an existential issue for Purdue. And if you've invested so much in making shots and you're not making shots, it's almost like a net loss as opposed to a marginal gain.
Yeah. Of those five players who had freshman eligibility last year, which one do you think will take the biggest leap into his second year, and which one does Purdue need to take the biggest leap into his second year?
Well, I think Jaden Ivey is already really good, so I'm going to punt on that one. And I think the guy who takes the biggest jump is Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And I say that acknowledging he's already really good. So I just think he's, you know, he just screams potential. I mean, as good as he is right now, everything about his biography as a player in terms of, you know, the fact he's not been playing very long, the fact he's still relatively raw, I think it just speaks to a year of experience plus a normal off season should lead to him being really, really good as a sophomore. Who does Purdue need to take the biggest jump? I'm going to say Brandon Newman, ever so slightly,
yeah,
over Ethan Morton. You know, I still view Ethan Morton as kind of a total unknown because I don't think you saw anything close to what his normal is going to be before long. So his floor here is, you know, something that I don't think you're ever going to see again. So he would be an easy answer, but I think I would go with Brandon Newman just because I think, you know, as we just talked about, Purdue's got to be a better shot-making team. I think he has the potential to be elite in that element of the game, but I also think he has a chance to be a really high-level defensive player. I think he still has to learn. I mean, I think structure from a defensive perspective especially was an adjustment for him, and I think he I think his confidence level is something that, you know, he needs to weaponize a little bit better and play like, you know, he's one of the best players on the floor and not get down on himself when a couple shots, you know, kind of don't go in and whatnot, and just to find consistency. I think a more consistent Brandon Newman is another guy that is the difference between Purdue winning this many games and this many games. You know, a more consistent Brandon Newman might be the difference between you contending for a Big Ten title and you winning a Big Ten title, that kind of thing, because I think Purdue's margins are so narrow at this point that incremental improvement here and there can be a big difference maker. But I think Brandon Newman, for sure, if he can be that kind of knockdown guy that I think everybody who had their eyes open during last season recognizes that he can be, if he grows a little bit as a player and understands playing to his strengths, is the practical way to go, because your strengths are your strengths, you know, and not trying to do a whole lot outside of, you know, his kind of defined comfort zone. If he takes better care of the basketball, doesn't take as many risks with the basketball, and just plays to what he does really well, and benefits from experience and benefits from structure this offseason and normalcy this offseason, I think he can take a big jump. And if he takes a big jump, I think Purdue takes a big jump.
Yeah. Well, we'll be a great season to watch, certainly this fall and winter, and that will probably be here before we know it. Hey, Brian, appreciate the time. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And that'll do it for our podcast for this Monday. Much more on the site at goldandblack.com. We'll be back again next Monday with the next podcast here. Of course, as news breaks, Golden Black Radio Express, however it is that you listen to your podcast. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Brian Ebert and Tom Dienhart. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.